the hell is going on? Keeping you up to date all weekend long. It's the ATL with Abe Gordon.
Let's do this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Start of hour number two on the Abe TL show. Abe Gordon here, live till 5. We talked about it. Going to be keeping an eye on the Atlanta Braves throughout the day right now. Trying to fight their way back into it down 4-2. But maybe a little bit of threatening going on for the offense here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Not a terrible outing for Spencer Schwellenbach. A little bit of bad luck has hurt him, but at the same time, you can't be giving up, home runs left and right. So that's where you are. We'll keep an eye on that. We're going to be talking about Falcons training camp here in about 15 minutes as well. I'm going to want your input on what we should be looking for. I got my list, but what might be on yours? But before we do that, we will head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome back to Atlanta, recently from Las Vegas, although I know he's been in town for a couple of days now. Caleb Johnson, Atlanta Hawks reporter here on 92.9 The Game. Caleb, I guess we'll start here. A disappointing summer league for a variety of reasons. The biggest one for me is that we only got two games out of Zachary Risacher. He was dealing with a quad contusion that kept him out of the final three there. But in those two games, Caleb, what did you happen to notice about the Hawks' number one draft pick?
Yeah, no, Abe, on the one hand, I get that we only saw two games from him, but that's honestly not that, uncommon for a lot of top draft picks. Now, we did hear going into this summer league that both, the head coach of the summer league team, Ronald Norrid, and Landry Fields were big on like, oh, yeah, Zach's going to play. And you had to wonder, just because of the fact that when Zach was drafted, he had just come from playing overseas in the playoffs. So, like, he played later in the year than anyone else who was drafted outside of, maybe Alex Saar and Batalis, who went to Chicago. So that was kind of the thing with that, is that he was always going to be monitored for how deep into the summer they wanted him to play. But then this injury popped up, which is a bit concerning, given that if they just wanted to rest him, they would have just said, hey, he's out for rest. So this is a legitimate thing. But as far as what I saw from him, I mean, everything that was a bit concerning, I guess, was kind of answered for me, which was, all right, how aggressive is he going to be when the ball is in his hands? Because we know his playing style is one that he doesn't need the ball in his hands and doesn't necessarily seek that out. So when it does happen, how passive is he and how aggressive is he? And what I saw from him was a guy who was very aggressive, a guy who did not mind putting up shots, did not mind, trying to make the right read and make the right play, instead of someone who I think, we were all just a bit concerned or wondered if he was going to be the type that when the lights turned on and this is a big moment, if he was going to kind of be like, hey, someone else can have the ball and I'll run to the opposite corner, all those sorts of things. I think the other part of this was, how is this all going to look defensively? Because, yes, he is just 19 years old, and, he is a pretty thin guy coming out of the draft. And so how is he going to be able to handle point-of-attack defense, which is a strong suit of his? And I think he showed a really strong ability there about, staying on the ball, staying in front of guys. Stuff that Quinn Snyder harps about all the time was just some really strong abilities that came out of Zachary Risacher. And I feel like this has got to be a guy who, we know Trae Young was pretty quiet right after the Hawks won the lottery and after the Hawks drafted Zachary Risacher to Atlanta. But I feel we've heard from Trae more recently, whether it was on the broadcast after the they played against the Spurs, or it was him responding to a fan on Twitter just the other day about his excitement of playing with Zachary Risacher. And I feel like that's got to be real, because he's seeing, oh, this guy who's about to join the team or who has joined the team is a guy who isn't selfish. He's team first, and he's a strong defender. All things that are really help around Trae Young.
Caleb Johnston, 99 The Game Hawks reporter, joining us here on the ABTL show. I want to continue on this Trae Young path here. What do you make from his attendance at the Summer League games there in Vegas, and then also the pictures that were shared earlier today? Pictures, it's tough to tell, but it looked like Reza Shea and Trae were doing a hill workout in sand. They may have just been enjoying a day at the beach. What's going on out there?
No, that was Jalen Johnson.
Oh, was it?
That was Jalen and Trae. So it's good. I mean, it's all good things. I would not have overreacted if Trae didn't come to Summer League, but I thought it was a good sign of respect. It was a good sign of support for Reza Shea and the other Hawks who were out there competing. Look, I mean, Trae, at this point in his career and his life, he's a pretty busy guy in the summer. Not only is he doing training, but just a couple, like on the day that the Hawks opened up against the Wizards, Trae was in L.A. being a part of a podcast with Matt Barnes and some other people. And so, like, it's not like he's just chilling at the house and is, you know, selfish and is like, oh, I'm not going out there. Like, he has stuff going on. And so to see him come out for that Spurs game to show his support along with Jalen Johnson was really good to see. To see him working out with Jalen in the summer feels like, look, this is great. This is the exact kind of thing that you want to see from your star, which, you know, we had kind of wondered leading up to the DeJounte Murray trade of who was going to stay, who was going to go. As soon as DeJounte was shipped out of town, that told me, okay, the focus is on Trae. I know a lot of people were on this, you know, oh, maybe they'll trade both. I just don't think that was ever in the cards because right, wrong, or indifferent, you want a star on your team, and there is no incentive for the Hawks to tank. And so because of that, you still want to be good. And while Trae, yes, has said, I want to win and I want to win now, maybe he's also had a bit of a reality check and seen that, hey, the market might not be as robust as he thought it would be. And so it is in his best interest to make nice with everyone in Atlanta to make this thing work. And if there is a plan in the future, say at this year's trade deadline or in next offseason, you know, if there is a point in which to trade Trae, I think he wants his value at its best, and he wants the interest at its best. And I quite honestly, I don't think it's there. So I think he is doing all of the right things right now of pairing up with teammates, of supporting Zachary Reza Shea, of supporting him on social media, doing all of those sorts of things so that they can be a more cohesive group, you know, come regular season time.
A couple other things outside of Reza Shea I was hoping to get at Summer League was Kobe Bufkin, and we know he never made it out there due to injury. Nikola Jurišić did show a little something in game one, but then 7 minutes into the second game, he got hurt. Outside of Reza Shea, what did stand out to you about the Hawks Summer League squad that went 0-5?
Honestly, for me, it was Keaton Wallace, the guy who just signed last week a two-way contract with the Hawks. He's someone who was around this team last year, and I think, you know, is someone that is trying to find his way in the league. But what he has shown is really strong defense and good shooting ability. Now, of course, that's going to kind of – it comes in flashes, especially with his performances in Summer League. And yes, you know, those things didn't lead to wins, but I think there's so much that goes into Summer League basketball and like actually winning games. It's very much like preseason football where you're working on specific things for your team. You're trying out different lineups. You're trying things that you wouldn't regularly see. You're also doing things like for the last two Summer League games, Steve Klee was the head coach as far as the guy coming off the bench, calling timeouts, doing all of those things instead of Ronald Norrod, just because this is the Hawks, you know, wanting to give guys different options and availabilities and just pretty typical summer league stuff. And so as far as the play that came out of it, yeah, I really think that Keaton Wallace secured his spot as a guy who has earned the two-way contract that he's going to have. And as someone who is developing, who is developing into an NBA type player. I think the other one is Dylan Windler. Windler showed a lot of really good promise as far as his shooting ability. That was something that is part of the reason why he was signed to this team at the end of this past season. I don't think he's going to make the Hawks roster, quite honestly. I just don't think there's a spot for him on this team. But I do think he got some really good run with the Hawks, and I'll be curious to see where he lands, because I think his summer league performance was good enough that some team is going to want that shooting ability and is going to want to sign him.
And then final question here for you, Caleb. You know, obviously, 92.9 The Game, Hawks reporter, and as your duties, you'll be covering the Hawks throughout the course of the offseason. So, like, what's the story you're looking at now or kind of expecting? I mean, it seems like we're headed towards this post-summer league downtime. So what should we be looking for or maybe keeping an eye on before we get to the preseason?
The biggest question to answer right now for the Atlanta Hawks is not who is going to be the two guard. It is who is going to be on this roster at center. Right now, they have five centers. Whether you talk about Clint Capela, Onyeka Okongwu, you know, whether or not they're going to bring back Bruno Fernando. They have Larry Nance Jr. on this roster. They have Cody Zeller on this roster. So they have five different options, and there is absolutely no way they go into the regular season with five centers. The problem is the guy who is probably on the bottom of the totem pole as far as options is Cody Zeller, and because they had to include him in the DeJounte Murray trade and they had to do a sign-in trade, he is stuck on this team. He is on this team until at least December, which is the earliest that the Hawks can trade him. So do the Hawks move Larry Nance Jr., a guy who is a very, you know, capable veteran, but is just towards the end of his career? Or do they look at trying to move Clint Capela, who has, you know, been a guy that I think the Hawks, if they have their choice, want to keep because of his rim protection, because of his rebounding ability? Or, you know, do they shop out there in Onyeka Okongwu? Like, there's just so many different options for them to go right now. Or do they do the thing that I think is pretty realistic, but I don't think they want to, which is to say, Bruno Fernando, we just don't have a spot for you, and they have to watch him go somewhere else. Because Bruno is such a big help to the locker room. Just everybody seems to love him, and he's a great third center on this team. But because of the way that they handled the DeJounte Murray trade, they really made things difficult for themselves at that position. And I've got no clue really what they're going to do, but they're going to have to figure out something.
Caleb, appreciate your time as always. I know you're coming up on the air a little bit later tonight, 7 to 10. And so we look forward to listening to you this evening.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Caleb Johnson getting it done. Back from Vegas, back to reality. And that's it. That might be, and I, you know, that might be it for the Hawks in terms of offseason coverage. I have one other topic at some point I'll get to. Win totals came out, and you know how much I love win totals. So we'll talk about that at some point. I'm going to try and get Andy and Randy to talk about it. They won't, but that's all right. All right, when we come back, it is time to get into Falcons training camp coverage discussions. It's time for my preview. What I'm going to be looking for and what I need from you right now is what you want me to look for that's not on my list. So we're going to be taking some calls. We're going to be breaking our way through all of the discussion coming up next year on the ABTL show. If you want to get in line and chat about what to watch for at Falcons training camp, 404-726-0929. A full preview coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
To more of the ABTL show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Abe TL Show here. Abe Gordon getting you ready for Falcons training camp. And we're almost there, boys and girls. We are almost there. Just a couple of days away. As we'll be, we won't be reporting. That's probably, don't use like the term that they actually use for the players. We'll be driving over there to watch and see what's going on. And look, we're getting you ready. And we're going to talk about it over the next couple of days. I'm sure all the shows will be doing some sorts of training camp previews and thoughts and all that stuff. And so I want to present mine before I get scooped on it, you know. And so here's what we're going to do. I have a list of 9 things that I am specifically going to be looking for at training camp. And this is outside of like the rando guy that kind of impresses you or will this guy, you know, that sort of stuff happens, right? Like it started, I mean, the most recent note would have been Clark Phillips, right? Remember, he's a 4th-round draft pick and kind of came in, and then he just went face-to-face to Drake London immediately. You're like, all right, look at this guy. Well, now we are 2 years later. He might be your starting corner. But I've got a list of 9 things that I'm going to be looking for at training camp. But I also, because the fans are unable to attend this year with the exception of 2 public practices due to the construction at Flowery Branch, our relationship as reporter, as media, our duty while we're there may be bigger this year than it has been in previous years. And so I also want to get some input from you guys and see what else you want us to look for at training camp. So if you want to get involved right now is your opportunity. 404-441. That's my phone number. Never mind. 404-726-0929. Almost did it, Dom. Almost gave out my own cell phone on the air. Let's not do that. 404-726-0929 if you want to get involved. Again, I'm going to go through my list right now, but what are the things you want us to keep an eye on for you as well, kind of do our jobs reporting back at training camp. All right, so here's my list of 9 things, and then we'll get to the phones and see what you guys are interested in. All right, number 1, and this is not in any order, by the way. This is just how I wrote them down and how they kind of came to me. So there you go. Number 1, how active is Kirk Cousins going to be? And the thing here is he limited at all? Are his throws affected at all? Because we haven't been told a lot. We've been told that he's been a little more active than he expected himself to be and all that. We've kind of been suggested that he'll be good to go for the season. I think it'll be nice to see it, though. I think it'll be a little bit of a relaxing breath for us to be like, oh, he's doing everything. He should be and will be 100% for the start of the season. And like, even if we don't see him in actual preseason games, I want to see him where he is completely a full go. No limitations, doing everything that Penix and Heinicke is doing. That's number 1. Speaking of Penix, how does he look? It's not going to be up to the fans to start a quarterback controversy because we're going to be the ones who are there watching it. But can the media avoid it? And I'm not suggesting that we'll try to create some sort of controversy, but and I'm not trying to pick on Mike Bell either. But you know, if Mike Bell sees Penix do some crazy stuff, he's going to bring it to air, as he should, by the way, as we all should. But I also know that like Randy isn't going to overreact. Bell might. Heck, I might. I don't think it's a bad thing, by the way, but we're going to be zeroing in on Michael Penix, and so are we able to avoid on our own creating a quarterback controversy? Because let me tell you, whether you want one or not, there isn't one. There's not going to be one. Let me make that very clear. But that isn't going to stop us from having those discussions. Where is Kyle Pitts being lined up as? We've heard about his usage from Zach Robinson as both wide receiver and tight end. I do wonder about the breakdown. How often will he be wide receiver? How often will he be a tight end? And what his usage is. And again, you're not going to figure this out day one, right? Like these are things that are going to take the course of training camp to figure out and also a look in some preseason games most likely. All right, those are the first 3 things. Again, my questions for training camp, what I'm going to be looking for, but also going to be taking your calls and what maybe I missed that you want us to keep an eye on. Also taking some responses on social media for that as well, at Abe Gordon there on X/Twitter. All right, Bijan Robinson. How often is he being sent out on actual routes? And I'm not talking about just being used as a back to check down in, but how much is he being used in the pass game? I'm interested. Like, we already know what we're going to get. At least I know. I think I know what we're going to get from him in the run game. But I am interested how often he's going to be targeted. And you obviously won't know from the action in regards to targets. But I am interested into how involved he is in the actual pass game for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to keep an eye on that. We get to the obvious position battles in the secondary. Cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell. The safety opposite Jesse Bates. How big is there actually going to be a real battle? Or do we kind of have it figured out and Raheem and Jimmy Lake have kind of already made their decision and they're going to run with it? Or is there a true battle there? We'll be looking out for that. Something I mentioned earlier that I specifically am very interested in. How much work is this team going to be doing on the new kickoff format? And who's the right return man for that? Very interested in that. Again, I think it's going to have a much bigger impact on the games than maybe we're prepared for. I know some people think, oh, it's just kickoff, whatever. I know others maybe think this is going to change the game. Like, I don't think it's either extreme, but I do think it is going to make a big difference, or at least has the potential to make a big difference. So I am interested to see how much work is being done on the new kickoff format. Again, I'm going through my Falcons training camp questions. I've gone through six of them. I've got three left. But I want your input as well. If you have a question that you have not heard me get to, dial in now. 404-726-0929. What's your input? What do you want to look for at Falcons training camp? And again, since the fans, for the most part, are unable to attend, what do you want us to look for on your behalf? All right, final three. How does Grady Jarrett look in his return from injury? I think it's really important. I really do. With the amount of money that's being paid, with the amount of questions surrounding the rest of the defensive front, Grady needs to look like Grady. And I don't know if he will or won't. We obviously all hope he will. I hope he does. But it'll be interesting. Who's being asked to rush the passer? Are the rookies getting a bulk of questions there? Is it Ebikadi and Harrison and the rookies got to wait their turn? Who's being asked to rush the passer? It could even be some of the more traditional linebackers, too. You talk about Nate Anderson and Landman. How are they being used as well? Who's being asked to rush the passer? And then finally, does the pass blocking schemes look any different? And if so, is that able to help out Caleb McGarry? How much are they using some extra tight ends as well to add to the pass blocking? So those are the nine things I'm going to be looking for at training camp. I do want to hear what you're going to be looking for or what you want us to be looking for at training camp as well. So those are my nine things. If you did not hear something that you specifically want us to pay attention to, follow, report back to you on while we are covering Falcons training camp, call in now. Now is your opportunity. I don't want to sit here and say, I can't believe they didn't cover this. You have an opportunity right now to directly tell us, hey, I want y'all to look out for something, and here's what it is. And so if you don't take that opportunity, that's on you. 404-726-0929. What should we look out for on your behalf when we were out Falcons training camp? Let's kick things off with Rob in Atlanta. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. So what do you want us to pay attention to from Falcons training camp?
Now, I missed your first couple of ones. You probably already covered this, but the number one thing by far that I'm looking forward to is seeing what Michael Penix Jr. looks like, because we put a whole lot of resources and that number one pick for the next several years into Michael Penix Jr., and we need to get this right. So I want to see what he's bringing, and I want to make sure that he's the right choice when we could have had a rusher or anything else that could have helped out the defense. I want to make sure that he's the right guy for us.
Yeah, I appreciate the call there. Here's the thing. you're not going to determine this year whether Penix is the right or wrong guy, assuming things go well, assuming Cousins is healthy. And I don't think we should make it about Penix. This year's not about Michael Penix. I know there's frustration in regards to the draft pick from some, but this year's not about Michael Penix. And if it is about Michael Penix, something has gone wrong. Something has gone wrong. And yes, Michael Penix was on my list. I am going to be paying attention to Michael Penix. Certainly we want to see some flash, right? We want to see some wows. Quite frankly, we want to see him not look like Desmond Ridder. Like, there were times where I was watching Ridder, Heinicke, and Logan Woodside, and none of them hit the net. And you're just like, what are we? Well, they hit the net. They didn't hit, like, the opening of the net that would have been, like, where they should. You know what I mean? If anyone's been out of the training camp, you know what I'm talking about. The big full rectangular nets, and they have some openings, and you're supposed to hit the openings. And they're just, none of them hit them. Like, five straight throws. Like, no one hit the net. And so, yeah, you want to see Penix there, all that stuff. But, again, this season is not about Michael Penix. And if it is, something has gone wrong. This season is all about Kirk Cousins. To me, I am much more – and look, we're going to be looking at Penix, right? You have to. But to me, this season is much more about Kirk Cousins. And for me, I'm much more – in terms of, like, my personal level of chill, if you want to call it that, there's nothing that Penix can show me out there this training camp that will make me be like, oh, all is well. What will make me say, oh, all is well, is that Kirk Cousins is moving around. Kirk Cousins is fully active doing everything that Penix and Heinicke are doing. That is what will bring me a level of chill. Not Penix. Penix will flash. There'll be excitement. We'll talk about it. But it's the other aspects in regards to your quarterbacks, specifically Kirk Cousins, that I'm more interested in. All right, 404-726-0929. I gave you 9 things that I'm looking for at training camp. What did I miss? What else do you want us to report back to you on? And again, I'm telling you right now, don't come in here middle of next week, later next week, or at any point in training camp and say, I can't believe they didn't pay attention to this. I'm literally asking you what we should pay attention to. I have my list, but I don't want to miss anything. And look, Andy and Randy are going to have their list. Dukes and Bell are going to have their list. The morning shift is going to, everyone's going to have their own list. But I'm telling you right now, if there's something specific you want us as a station to look out for, to be your eyes and ears at training camp, you better tell us now. 404-726-0929. When we come back, more coverage of Falcons training camp. We'll talk a little bit more about what I hope to see while on the fields there at Flowery Branch. It is the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here live until 5 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Hello there.
More of the Abe TL Show.
You're every man's dream.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Got a couple things coming your way in our next hour. As always, to kick off the final hour, we will go outside the perimeter, talk about some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. Got a good list of stuff for you today on that. Also, at 4:20, going to take a look back at ESPN's list of top 100 athletes from the 2000s. Kind of share some thoughts and maybe what surprised me. And just kind of recap what they went through, and we'll see if you agree, disagree. But before we do that, continue the discussion about Falcons training camp, and very excited to get out there and see what's going on with the squad. And again, there are certainly a lot of things that I'm looking for. I had a list of 9. I wrote down a couple more in the break, and so we'll detail and keep you covered through that, because we are going to have full coverage on 92.9 The Game. I'm interested to see who we talk to day one. I want to say last year we got Fontenot like right off the bat, right, like immediately day one with Andy and Randy. But who knows? I don't know if that's going to be the case this year, and we'll see. A couple of things I'm going to be looking to may try and figure out in regards to Falcons training camp. And again, if you want to get some thoughts in regards to camp, and certainly if you've been in years past, like what were you looking for in previous years that you want us to look for on your behalf this year? 404-726-0929 would be the call. Ray-Ray McCloud and Rondale Moore. One of those guys needs to be, I don't know if a spark is the right term, but kind of like a hidden gem in the pass game, if you will. And I think based on expectations, the first shot of that goes to Rondale Moore. You know, can he be a deep threat, a guy over the top that can make some plays? But Ray-Ray McCloud as well. And then speaking of McCloud, and we talked about the impact of the kickoff format. Ray-Ray McCloud's a guy that does have return experience, but so does Avery Williams. And when we talk about the impact, now you might have, it's obvious you're going to have more than one guy qualified to be a returner. So you'll probably use both of them at some point, but I am interested to see where the decision lines up in regards to playing the role of return man, because with all respect to what Avery Williams has done, I don't know if he's necessarily needed as a fourth running back. And if you're not going to use him as a return man, what's his role? If you have McCloud to use that, what's the role? Do you try and shift him back to the defensive side of the ball? I don't know if I'd do that after a couple of years. But very interested to see how that plays out. I know this one's going to sound weird, and I don't think when I was growing up, I thought, I'm going to go to practice and watch for this, but here we are. Drew Dahlman snap accuracy. It was shaky at times last year, and I think it really cost the Falcons offense. Now, I will say this. I think it cost the Falcons offense because your quarterback was inexperienced and probably couldn't handle it, probably couldn't deal with it. And if your quarterback had anything go wrong from the moment the play was called up until the finalized performance, it was a nightmare. It was a setback. I will say this. Kirk Cousins can probably take his eyes off of downfield and recover. Desmond Ridder couldn't. And so Drew Dahlman's accuracy was maybe overexposed, highlighted a bit too much last year because of how much it set back every play that it wasn't perfect. And so, look, I think you won't notice it as much this year because Kirk Cousins can make up the difference. But it is still something I'm looking at because he's got to be a little bit better than he was. He's got to be better than he was in regards to his snaps. And so, yeah, I'll throw a tire out there, see how many times he hits the center. I don't know. But I'll be looking at it. And the tough thing is like half the time they're not doing real snaps. It's just a guy handing him a ball or throwing him. So, it'll be tough.
Just a little fake.
I'll be looking for it, though. And another interesting thing is who's taking the lead on defense between Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake. And you sometimes have this when you've got a coach who has a mindset or is a defensive guy or an offensive guy and has a D coordinator or offensive coordinator. And I think this is kind of the conversation we had with Arthur Smith, right? Like, do we want Arthur Smith calling the plays? Or do we want him kind of managing the whole scope of things? And I'm interested to see how that plays out for Raheem Morris. How hands-on is he going to be? And look, it's camp, so it's going to be different than it would be on game day. I think he'll be way more involved in camp on every aspect of things, trying to get things in line than he necessarily would be on game day. But I am interested to see from that perspective, is he going to allow his coaching staff to do their jobs? And not that he wouldn't. He hired them for a reason. But certainly, we all believe Zach Robinson's going to be calling plays. He's going to be the lead guy on offense. Is that the case for Jimmy Lake? 404-726-0929. If you're not going to be able to attend training camp, and there's going to be two open practices away from Flowery Branch that you will be able to invited to. But since you're not able to, for the most part, what do you want us looking out for? 404-726-0929. Joe is in Cleveland, wants to share his thoughts. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Abe? How's it going?
Doing good, man. What's going on?
So me being from Cleveland, I'm obviously a Buckeye fan. But my two big players that I want to watch, one, Zach Harrison, and two, Matthew Bergeron. I want to see if they continue to, you know, excel from where they were drafted, because I think both of them outperformed where they were drafted, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do.
Yeah, Bergeron is like, for me, he's almost like Matthews or Lindstrom already. And I don't mean in the terms of like, will this guy one day go in the Falcons Ring of Honor, which those guys are kind of in that discussion already. But more in terms of like, I'm not really worried about him. I'm really not worried about Bergeron, like out of sight, out of mind. I think he had such an impressive first season at left guard that it's only going to stabilize. There's no reason for that to be a step back. I was concerned last year. I was optimistic but concerned about the position change. But I think he excelled, and I'm just not worried about him. In terms of Harrison, again, that goes back to who's being asked to rush the passer. It's going to be very interesting because here's the thing. We lost 13 sacks off of last year's squad, right? And everyone wanted to, and they didn't understand it, but everyone wanted to kind of play up the numbers, and that's fine. The numbers are not real. And what I mean by that is you can't sit here and say, look at Harrison's numbers on this percentage of plays compared to Calais Campbell, or look at Ebikadie's numbers on this percentage of plays compared to Bud Dupree. These were guys that came in and passed specific chances. They were on the field to do one thing. It wasn't an every down situation, which is not what Bud Dupree, Calais Campbell were necessarily involved. So you can't just extrapolate numbers of like, well, yeah, but he had three sacks in an eighth of the plays. So if you multiply all that by eight, 24 sacks, like, ready, go. Like, it's not quite that simple, but I will say this. Despite the attention paid to the defensive front in the middle rounds of the NFL draft, this is still an opportunity that feels like it's Ebikadie's and Zach Harrison's. And if we're going to be quite honest, I'm a little bit higher on the potential for Zach Harrison to become a force along the defensive line than I am Ebikadie. It's just my personal opinion. Not saying I'm right or that it can't be true, but if I'm suggesting that one of those two guys is going to break out, I'm expecting it to be Harrison more than I am Ebikadie. That's just me. But we'll see, because they're also going to have to compete with Braylon Trice and Brandon Dorlus and Ruka Roro. And so, look, you've got five guys, right, between Ebikadie and Harrison, Dorlus, Trice, or Roro. You've got five guys. How many of those guys really need to break out? One and a half? Like, I mean, two if Grady's not Grady, right? If Grady is Grady, and by the way, I really liked what you got from Onyemata, right? So if Grady is Grady, Onyemata stays healthy, how many guys on that defensive line really need to break out? Like one with like a pseudo breakout season. Like we talk about replacing 13 sacks, right? If Grady is back and Grady is Grady and Onyemata is healthy and he's as performing as well as he did. Like what would be like, let's say a breakout season for Zach Harrison's eight sacks, right? And then a pseudo half breakout for, let's just say Braylon Trice is six. Like that's you're recovering the 13 sacks you lost plus what Grady gives you. Like that's how your defensive line takes a jump. And again, I don't expect the defensive line to be one of the top five sack leaders in the NFL. But you can't be bottom five. And so how do you get that? Grady's healthy. Someone steps up and a guy half steps up. It doesn't take much. And no, it's a lot to ask, right? Because there are still questions. It's a lot to ask. But I don't think you're that far. Like, we're not asking five guys, none of which are proven along the D-line, to all have monster seasons. You're asking one guy to have a pseudo-monster season and hope other guys can pick up some slack beyond that. I'm excited to see Zach Harrison. I think he's got what it takes to succeed in the NFL. I think you saw some good and some bad last year in limited opportunities. And the question now is who gets all those opportunities? And like we said, that's going to be one of the things we're looking for. Who is being asked to rush the passer? You got Onyemata, you got Grady, but you got a number of guys as well. And you got to figure out who is going to be asked to rush the passer, because there's only so many chances to get after the quarterback, and you got a lot of players with a lot to prove, chip on the shoulder type of stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. All right. One last chance if you want to get in and chat about the Falcons training camp. We do have another hour. We can sprinkle some calls in here and there. But we got outside the perimeter. I got some other discussions as well in the 4 o'clock hour. But you can also always add some thoughts on Twitter, at Abe Gordon on Twitter. I also retweeted, reposted, whatever, from the 92.9 The Game account. So I gave you my list. If there's some other stuff, maybe a little kind of rogue, surprising stuff that you want us to look at training camp. Oh, you know what the other one was? And this is probably less a training camp thing, but, like, how do we feel about Young Weku? I feel like 3 years ago he was unflappable. The last 2 years felt like every year's kind of been a little bit of a regression. I still think he's a really good kicker. Maybe a little more focus on those PATs. I don't know what's up with the PATs versus the field goals, but...
You know what's funny? I remember when they moved the extra point back a little bit, and everyone was like, oh my goodness, this is so stupid, it's not going to make a difference. And, like, it feels like it has made, like, not, like, huge to the point where we're seeing it, like, every week, but, like, I do feel like just moving it back...
I realistically don't think it's made a difference in games, but I do think it's made a difference for kickers.
Yeah, yeah.
And how they're viewed. Like, I can't think of any of Young Weku's missed PATs and be like, if he had just made that one. I'm sure there were some where, like, then we had to go for two and maybe we made it and we're back on odds, or maybe we missed it and now we're playing from behind. I'm sure there were some, but it's not like, I don't remember in the league, like, someone, like, scoring a touchdown with 51 seconds left and then donking the PAT and be like, well, lost the game because you missed the PAT. I'm sure it's happened. I don't know. I don't recall it that much, but yeah. So I'll be watching Young Weku a little bit. But again, he's not losing his job, so.
Hello there.
More of the ATL Show.
Your everyman's dream.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Got a couple things coming your way in our next hour. As always, to kick off the final hour, we will go outside the perimeter, talk about some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. Got a good list of stuff for you today on that. Also, at 4:20, going to take a look back at ESPN's list of top 100 athletes from the 2000s. Kind of share some thoughts and maybe what surprised me. And just kind of recap what they went through, and we'll see if you agree, disagree. But before we do that, continue the discussion about Falcons training camp, and very excited to get out there and see what's going on with the squad. And again, there are certainly a lot of things that I'm looking for. I had a list of nine. I wrote down a couple more in the break, and so we'll detail. And keep you covered through that, because we are going to have full coverage on 92.9 The Game. I'm interested to see who we talk to day one. I want to say last year we got Fontenot, like, right off the bat. Right, like, immediately day one with Andy and Randy. But who knows? I don't know if that's going to be the case this year, and we'll see. A couple of things I'm going to be looking to may try and figure out in regards to Falcons training camp. And again, if you want to get some thoughts in regards to camp, and certainly if you've been in years past, Like, what were you looking for in previous years that you want us to look for on your behalf this year? 404-726-0929 would be the call. Ray-Ray McCloud and Rondale Moore. One of those guys needs to be, I don't know if a spark is the right term, but kind of like a hidden gem in the pass game, if you will. And I think based on expectations, the first shot of that goes to Rondale Moore. You know, can he be a deep threat, a guy over the top that can make some plays? But Ray-Ray McCloud as well. And then speaking of McCloud, and we talked about the impact of the kickoff format. Ray-Ray McCloud's a guy that does have return experience, but so does Avery Williams. And when we talk about the impact, now you might have, it's obvious you're going to have more than one guy qualified to be a returner. So you'll probably use both of them at some point, but I am interested to see where the decision lines up in regards to playing the role of return man, because with all respect to what Avery Williams has done, I don't know if he's necessarily needed as a fourth running back. And if you're not going to use him as a return man, what's his role? If you have McCloud to use that, what's the role? Do you try and shift him back to the defensive side of the ball? I don't know if I'd do that after a couple years. But very interested to see how that plays out. I know this one's going to sound weird, and I don't think, when I was growing up, I thought, I'm going to go to practice and watch for this, but here we are. Drew Dahlman's snap accuracy. It was shaky at times last year, and I think it really cost the Falcons' offense. Now, I will say this. I think it cost the Falcons offense because your quarterback was inexperienced and probably couldn't handle it, probably couldn't deal with it. And if your quarterback had anything go wrong from the moment the play was called up until the finalized performance, it was a nightmare. It was a setback. I will say this. Kirk Cousins can probably take his eyes off of downfield and recover. Desmond Ridder couldn't. And so Drew Dahlman's accuracy was maybe overexposed, highlighted a bit too much last year because of how much it set back every play that it wasn't perfect. And so, look, I think you won't notice it as much this year because Kirk Cousins can make up the difference. But it is still something I'm looking at because he's got to be a little bit better than he was. He's got to be better than he was in regards to his snaps. And so, yeah, I'll throw a tire out there, see how many times he hits the center. I don't know. But I'll be looking at it. And the tough thing is like half the time they're not doing real snaps. It's just a guy handing him a ball or throwing him. So, it'll be tough.
Just a little fake.
I'll be looking for it, though. And another interesting thing is who's taking the lead on defense between Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake. And you sometimes have this when you've got a coach who has a mindset or is a defensive guy or an offensive guy and has a D coordinator or offensive coordinator. And I think this is kind of the conversation we had with Arthur Smith, right? Like, do we want Arthur Smith calling the plays? Or do we want him kind of managing the whole scope of things? And I'm interested to see how that plays out for Raheem Morris. How hands-on is he going to be? And look, it's camp, so it's going to be different than it would be on game day. I think he'll be way more involved in camp on every aspect of things, trying to get things in line than he necessarily would be on game day. But I am interested to see from that perspective, is he going to allow his coaching staff to do their jobs, and not that he wouldn't. He hired them for a reason. But certainly, we all believe Zach Robinson's going to be calling plays. He's going to be the lead guy on offense. Is that the case for Jimmy Lake? 404-726-0929. If you're not going to be able to attend training camp And there's going to be two open practices away from Flowery Branch that you will be able to invited to. But since you're not able to for the most part, what do you want us looking out for? 404-726-0929. Joe is in Cleveland, wants to share his thoughts. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Abe? How's it going?
Doing good, man. What's going on?
So me being from Cleveland, I'm obviously a Buckeye fan. But my two big players that I want to watch, one, Zach Harrison, and two, Matthew Bergeron. I want to see if they continue to, you know, excel from where they were drafted, because I think both of them outperformed where they were drafted, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do.
Yeah, Bergeron is like, for me, he's almost like Matthews or Lindstrom already. And I don't mean in the terms of like, will this guy one day go in the Falcons Ring of Honor, which those guys are kind of in that discussion already. But more in terms of like, I'm not really worried about him. I'm really not worried about Bergeron, like out of sight, out of mind. I think he had such an impressive first season at left guard that it's only going to stabilize. There's no reason for that to be a step back. I was concerned last year. I was optimistic but concerned about the position change. But I think he excelled, and I'm just not worried about him. In terms of Harrison, again, that goes back to who's being asked to rush the passer. It's going to be very interesting because here's the thing. We lost 13 sacks off of last year's squad, right? And everyone wanted to, and they didn't understand it, but everyone wanted to kind of play up the numbers, and that's fine. The numbers are not real. And what I mean by that is you can't sit here and say, look at Harrison's numbers on this percentage of plays compared to Calais Campbell, or look at Ebikadie's numbers on this percentage of plays compared to Bud Dupree. These were guys that came in and passed specific chances. They were on the field to do one thing. It wasn't an every down situation, which is not what Bud Dupree, Calais Campbell were necessarily involved. So you can't just extrapolate numbers of like, well, yeah, but he had three sacks in an eighth of the plays. So if you multiply all that by eight, 24 sacks, like ready to go. Like it's not quite that simple, but I will say this. Despite the attention paid to the defensive front in the middle rounds of the NFL draft, this is still an opportunity that feels like it's Ebikadie's and Zach Harrison's. And if we're going to be quite honest, I'm a little bit higher on the potential for Zach Harrison to become a force along the defensive line than I am Ebikadie. Just my personal opinion, not saying I'm right or that it can't be true, but if I'm suggesting that one of those two guys is going to break out, I'm expecting it to be Harrison more than I am Ebikadie. That's just me. But we'll see, because they're also going to have to compete with Braylon Trice and Brandon Dorlus and Ruka Ro-Ro-Ro. And so, look, you've got five guys, right, between Ebikadie and Harrison, Dorlus, Trice, or Ro-Ro-Ro. You've got five guys. How many of those guys really need to break out? One and a half? Like, I mean, two if Grady's not Grady, right? If Grady is Grady, and by the way, I really liked what you got from Onyemata, right? So if Grady is Grady, Onyemata stays healthy, how many guys on that defensive line really need to break out? Like one with like a pseudo breakout season? Like, we talk about replacing 13 sacks, right? If Grady is back and Grady is Grady, and Onyemata is healthy and he's performing as well as he did, like, what would be, like, let's say a breakout season for Zach Harrison's eight sacks, right? And then a pseudo half breakout for, let's just say, Braylon Trice is six. Like, that's your recovering the 13 sacks you lost plus what Grady gives you. Like, that's how your defensive line takes a jump. And again, I don't expect the defensive line to be one of the top five sack leaders in the NFL. But you can't be bottom five. And so how do you get that? Grady's healthy. Someone steps up, and a guy half steps up. It doesn't take much. And no, it's a lot to ask, right? Because there are still questions. It's a lot to ask. But I don't think you're that far. Like, we're not asking five guys – none of which are proven along the D-line, to all have monster seasons. You're asking one guy to have a pseudo-monster season and hope other guys can pick up some slack beyond that. I'm excited to see Zach Harrison. I think he's got what it takes to succeed in the NFL. I think you saw some good and some bad last year in limited opportunities. And the question now is who gets all those opportunities? And like we said, that's going to be one of the things we're looking for. Who is being asked to rush the passer? You got Onyemata, you got Grady, but you got a number of guys as well. And you got to figure out who is going to be asked to rush the passer, because there's only so many chances to get after the quarterback, and you got a lot of players with a lot to prove, chip on the shoulder type of stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. All right. One last chance if you want to get in and chat about the Falcons training camp. We do have another hour. We can sprinkle some calls in here and there. But we got outside the perimeter. I got some other discussions as well in the 4 o'clock hour. But you can also always add some thoughts on Twitter, at Abe Gordon on Twitter. I also retweeted, reposted, whatever, from the 92.9 The Game account. So I gave you my list. If there's some other stuff, maybe a little kind of rogue, surprising stuff that you want us to look at training camp. Oh, you know what the other one was? And this is probably less a training camp thing, but, like, how do we feel about Young Weku? I feel like 3 years ago he was unflappable. The last 2 years felt like every year's kind of been a little bit of a regression. I still think he's a really good kicker. Maybe a little more focus on those PATs. I don't know what's up with the PATs versus the field goals, but...
You know what's funny? I remember when they moved the extra point back a little bit, and everyone was like, oh my goodness, this is so stupid, it's not going to make a difference. And, like, it feels like it has made, like, not, like, huge to the point where we're seeing it, like, every week, but, like, I do feel like just moving it back...
I realistically don't think it's made a difference in games, but I do think it's made a difference for kickers.
Yeah, yeah.
And how they're viewed. Like, I can't think of any of Young Weku's missed PATs and be like, if he had just made that one. I'm sure there were some where, like, then we had to go for two and maybe we made it and we're back on odds, or maybe we missed it and now we're playing from behind. I'm sure there were some, but it's not like, I don't remember in the league, like, someone, like, scoring a touchdown with 51 seconds left and then donking the PAT and be like, well, lost the game because you missed the PAT. I'm sure it's happened. I don't know. I don't recall it that much, but yeah. So I'll be watching Young Weku a little bit. But again, he's not losing his job, so I say I'll be watching him. For what? I don't know. Going to be watching the temperature, too, because it's going to be hot out there, as it always is. All right. When we come back, we are going to go outside the perimeter. We got 1 hour left to go here on the Abe TL Show. Outside the perimeter's got a lot of different stories today, so real interested to get into that one as well. So we will take a break now and come back in about 5 minutes and go all around the nation. Top stories, headlines, and topics. It is the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.